Okay, Hare Krishna. Here I am. Yesterday, you saw that there was some technical problem for a reason which I wasn't doing a podcast. That technical problem wasn't with the internet. It wasn't with a computer. It was just with me. I was really so chock-a-block, so busy that I didn't really have the type of quality time to just sit down and answer some of the questions that I've received. And please keep more questions coming in. I'm still here in New Rajadam, and I'll be going to Budapest on Saturday, having a program there in the evening, and then staying there for a week before going a week Saturday to Paris for the day to see our new temple. We've got a new property, we've made a down payment on it, and it's going to be paid for in August. So that's a really wonderful turn of events, and I'm hoping that I'll be equally impressed with the property when we see it. I've seen plans of it, I've seen photos of it, but I haven't seen it in person, should I say, or haven't seen it live. Some devotees were asking whether I'm sick because I'm hoarse, and the answer is not really. What happened is that one night I slept outside, and it was windy, and as a result of that, I got a sore throat. You know, if you sleep under an open window, or if you sleep outside when the wind blows, then you're likely to catch a cold or a sore throat. So in this case, it was the latter. Okay, let's address a question here from China, and this is from a Bhakti in Rama, and she's asking, in Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 3, it's explained that the intelligence is in the mode of goodness, in the mode of passion, whilst mind in the mode of goodness. We understand also that the intelligence is above the mind. Explain how this works, a lower mode control. A lower mode controlling a generally higher mode. Okay, well, let's start off by remembering that both the third canto context is that of creation, the 11th canto is that of annihilation. And the main, there's a misunderstanding here in this question, in that Bhagavatam isn't saying that our minds are in the mode of goodness and our minds are in the mode of passion. It's speaking about a functional or a mechanical creation of the mind and the intelligence. How is it that these two things, among so many other things in creation, how they come about? And the false ego in the mode of goodness, by contact with the time fractor, gives rise to the presiding demigods as well as the mind. In other words, that's how the mind is created. That is the stuff, that is the substance from which the mind comes. Then the mode of passion, false ego in the mode of passion, contacted by the time factor, energized by the Lord, gives rise to the senses as well as the intelligence. That's the stuff that those things are made of. And in the mode of ignorance, false ego in the mode of ignorance gives birth to the tanmatra, the gross material elements. Now, take the example of the body of a brahmana, a sattvic brahman who's following all the injunctions of shastra. He is in the mode of goodness. However, the elements of his body are created from the mode of ignorance. His mind is created from the mode of goodness, and his intelligence is created from the mode of passion. These original mechanics don't determine what mode he's in. We determine by our guna karma what mode we are in. So because the Brahman's body is sort of constitutionally made up of material elements of the mode of ignorance, he's not in the mode of ignorance, he's in the mode of goodness. And why is that, or how is that? Because according to the activities that we perform, according to our nature, our mind and intelligence, let's speak about those things, are in a particular mode. When our behavior is dutiful, scripturally guided, under direction of Sadhu and Guru, that's considered to be in the mode of goodness. When we're fruitive, mode of passion, and so on, for the mode of ignorance. So whether the intelligence or mind is in one mode or another depends upon the association that the living entity has, the training that he receives from those sources of association, and then practices. So in principle, and Krishna then explains this in the third chapter, Indriyani Prani Ahur Indriya Bharam Mana Manasasto Prabhuti, that even though a lower nature creates the intelligence, and the mode of passion is the source of intelligence, because it's meaning the intelligence's function is that of activity. It's meant for planning. It has a discriminative ability, and it's meant for fulfilling certain goals of the living entity. Still, that discriminative ability of the intelligence places it in a higher functional position than the mind, whose main ability is sankalpa vikalpa, accepting and rejecting. It lacks the discriminatory ability, but rather it becomes a functionary of the intelligence, engaging the senses. So in terms of source, in terms of creation, the mind is from the mode of goodness, intelligence from the mode of passion, but in terms of how they're put together in order for the living entity to work, the intelligence remains in a controlling position over and above the mind. As for instance, you may have gears, you may have a golden gear that's being driven by a iron gear, just because one gear is made out of a different quality or a different material doesn't mean that it can't be driven or controlled by another. Okay, but as my original statement was, the mind is not in goodness automatically, the intelligence is not in passion automatically, but rather, according to guna karma, then they're in one or another. If the intelligence is properly guided, Sadhu Shastra Guru, then it is in goodness, and it is then capable of controlling the mind, and hence the senses. If the intelligence is unguided, if it's devoid of spiritual strength, then the mind can very easily overwhelm the intelligence, even though that's not the plan, that's not how Krishna's actually constructed things. But in the example of the gear, even though the iron gear may drive the golden gear, but if things are topsy-turvy, if the machine is directed wrongly, then the gears can go backward and the golden gear drives the iron one. Similarly, if we work in under confusion in a wrong way, then the mind can subdue the intelligence. The intelligence becomes bewildered, and it becomes subordinated or completely incapacitated by the mind and the intelligence. So we should therefore see that the ability of the intelligence to control the mind is that it's properly situated in knowledge, has a very clear purpose, is able to discriminate upon the purposes that it achieves, and in that way one's goal can be realized by engaging the mind and the senses. If that discrimination is for the sake of spiritual advancement, that will be called goodness. If it's for economic development, it will be called passion. Therefore, we should always keep good company, always keep our intelligence strong by regularly hearing from Shastra and practicing Shastra, ensure that our intelligence is guiding our mind to select those things which are favorable for devotional service, anukulyena sankalpa, rejecting those things that are unfavorable, pratikulya vivajanam, and that is how we advance on the path of devotional service. Okay, more tomorrow. I hope that answered the mind intelligence question.